violating the law.
But what your committee worked on and we presented to you, what you worked on, what you come up with, is your committee's vote. And we're just, we put a policy in place, a rule, that any committee that was going to impact the criminal code, that we would have not an oversight position. We're not here to second guess what you guys did. We're just here to review what you guys did. Your committee is a committee just like this committee and responsible for its own actions and the department, and how they're going to react to this law is the department's, just like the state police is kind of ours. And so if there's questions relating to that, I'd like them asked, but I want to relate to that. We're not changing your committee's rules. Senator Pease, Representative Pease, and then Senator Plummer.
Thank you, first of all, Mr. Chair, for the motion. My question is, I totally support that move this way. How do we dispose of it now?
We've come up with a process that we're looking at, like some of the things, how it's going to impact our books, how it's going to impact our jails, and the cost of that. I have the lead sponsor, the lead advocate, who is a past co-chair of this committee, and some problems that we were running into with what the committees were doing around the State House here, and she's more than welcome to take the 14th seat. And I would like to have Senator Haskell respond to that question, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself on the microphone.
Thank you very much, Senator Zofsky, and Representative Dyer, members of the committee. I'm Senator Ann Haskell. My district is number 9. It's a portion of Portland, a portion of Westbrook. And I did indeed have the pleasure of serving on this committee for a number of years. And besides several other years in the legislature, and I observed what a couple of other committees do regarding issues where there are crossover pieces of policy that come into effect. One of them was with the Fund for Healthy Maine. Fund for Healthy Maine is used for a variety of projects. Various committees have jurisdiction over those projects. If there was anything proposed in the legislature which regarding the Fund for Healthy Maine, before it went on onto the floor, there is a rule, a joint rule, that says the committee of jurisdiction over that funding piece, and that funding was the Fund for Healthy Maine, that committee would review it and make a recommendation back to the policy committee. So if you had decided to create a fishway and use for its cost the money from the Fund for Healthy Maine, it would have to be reviewed by that committee. That committee then does not have jurisdiction to make any changes to that, but to report back to your committee and say, thank you very much, Senator Johnson, what a wonderful idea. However, we believe this is inconsistent with the way that we have used the Fund for Healthy Maine, the way it's designed, the way we come to understand it. There is also a similar process for the Judiciary Committee. If your committee decides that something is going to be that you are not no longer going to allow the number of licenses in Cumberland County for law provision to be public, if you make them non-public and basically impact the Freedom Information Act, then that piece of legislation needs to go to the Judiciary Committee for a similar review so that they can be sure that it's consistent with their policy. It was my opinion on the committee in the number of years that I served here that crimes were being proposed by a variety of other committees who had not had the opportunity that this committee has had to look at what the relative importance value of those crimes were. And so sometimes there came crimes which had two impacts, in my opinion. One was the impact on the prison costs. That's one of the reasons that it came forward when it all went down to Appropriations Committee and there were huge jail costs. And the second was whether or not when a judge looked at that, that was a consistent somewhat in the same range. They all don't have to look alike, but at least somewhat in the same range. So I proposed the rule, which Senator Zofsky brought forward, and the rule basically states that if you do commit a, if you do, with a piece of legislation, propose a crime, which would have a punishment that would impact the judicial system, the criminal justice system, that it would come here, this committee would have the opportunity to review to see whether the level of crime was consistent with other levels of crimes. In other words, we don't want, you know, guiding a bear without a main guide to be a Class A crime. That wouldn't be a consistent application, and I think it would be hard to justify. And the process by which it was envisioned, I believe the rule says, is the Committee of Criminal Justice and Public Safety will review the crime being that section and would make a recommendation back to the Committee of Jurisdiction. But this committee did not have the authority to change that, only to make a recommendation back, which I always assumed would be, this appears to be consistent. Thank you very much, Senator Johnson, for sending it forward to us. Or, Senator Johnson, if you would inform your committee that it appears that this crime is more similar to those crimes in a Class X category, then you could bring that back to your committee and take it under consideration.
First of all, I'd like to ask Representative Hayes if that was the answer to his question. And I'm going to call on Representative Mark Dion. Excuse me. There's too many Marks on this committee.
Happy to have Representative Mark.
Ben Wilson. Plumber.
I'll yield to Representative Mark. Senator, thank you for attending. The question I had, and you're kind of answering it, you know, when I read the rule, and I know you're one of the authors, so it's easier to ask you than what you might have thought is, when it comes to evaluating the proposal for its impact on the criminal justice system, let's see if I'm clear. One, the first part of the test, is the crime consistent with similar other conduct, or the committee is supposed to figure out if the conduct is similar to others and therefore the right class is assigned. That's the first test. And then the second test is cost on the system measured by jail. This is a learning piece for this committee, and I think that I'm trying to explore what the real test is so other committees, when they design criminal statutes, can anticipate what we're going to measure their decision against.
Thank you. If I understand your question, while the cost was a matter of importance, it was never designed to be the deciding factor that you said, oh, we can't do this, it's too expensive. You will be looking at the fiscal note, but if this committee has had no knowledge of it, that creates a fiscal impact for which your budget review may not be prepared. There may have been 16 crimes committed, proposed and passed that you might not know about. You go about putting your budget in place, not recognizing that you're going to see an increase of 100 and, you know, likely 100 based on the fiscal note. So while I would not think that this committee was going to be saying, oh, we can't do that one, it's too expensive, I think the first criteria is it consistent, and then the risk-reward is the balance of the Committee of Jurisdiction's implication, but at least you know what the fiscal impact is, but that by and large, it would be this committee's responsibility to look and see whether it was consistent with other applications.
So to be clear then, it's not the purpose of this rule to allow this committee to question the rationale for making this alleged conduct criminal to begin with?
If it is your no crime at all. You saw our conduct, and it was this committee's could not seem to find that that even rose to the level of a Class E crime, that you could report that back to the committee and said and let them know that it does not match any of the criteria for crimes. It's not consistent with any of the criteria for crimes that we have in our statute. It doesn't mean the committee can't do it. It simply means that they then understand that here's the level and here's where it floated up to.
All right, so for future reference, this committee can report a finding saying we cannot concur with the fact that this conduct should be defined as criminal conduct.
I would think that would be one of your findings, just like any
you
other.
You think it could be?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Haskell, Senator Johnson, everybody, for explaining this to us. It's an unusual position for us to be in, almost second-guessing or through reviewing what your committee's already done here. Knowing that I will share my opinion in the spirit of keeping this moving forward, I do not feel, after reviewing the other white crimes, that this fits the criteria for a Class D crime, and I wouldn't feel comfortable recommending that it stay a Class D. I think that if, based off the other similar violations like fishing without a license, fish kills, closed fishing seasons, all these various other types that are all Class E's, I feel more comfortable. Aside from that, knowing that domestic violence is a Class D crime, criminal threatening is a Class D crime, stalking is a Class D crime, I don't feel that stealing helpers, or whatever they're called, I'm sorry, rises to the same level of conduct as stalking or criminal threatening does. So I feel that, in my opinion, it's more appropriate as a Class E crime, and I will stop sharing my opinion beyond that.
Okay, because my opinion is going to be a little bit different. Now I'm going to